other positions you all are aware of that we should be considering? Let's move on to accounts payable. Gentlemen, I'm all right with everything that's in accounts payable. I had three questions earlier. One turned out to be currently bid on services that Mr. Erickson and the auditor answered for me. The second I found on my own. The third is number 338295, and I think that we need to ask some questions about that because it contains expenses for that were not contained within the approved budget. So I'd like to hold that one.
So I'd like to hold that one and check that you're talking about.
338295. Not deny it, just hold it until we have some questions answered.
Up on the very bottom one.
Sorry. Is there a motion?
Move to approve checks 338214 through 338294, 338296 through 338299, warrants 5914 and 5915, and a journal entry for postage usage.
And you're making note of the...
He left it out of his motion.
I know he left it out of his motion, but don't we have a form we fill out?
It's on the very back.
Yes.
Okay. I'll second the motion.
Did you have the warrants in that?
I did.
Journal entry? Motion's made and seconded to approve checks 338214 through 338294, 338296 through 338299, warrants 5914, 5915, and journal entry for postage usage. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed nay. Motion carries. We have executive session minutes.
Motion for approval of executive session minutes for August 5th, September the 16th, and September the 26th, October 24th, November 7th, December the 2nd A, December the 2nd B, and December the 3rd, December the 9th A, December the 9th B, and December the 12th.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve executive session minutes dated August 5th, September 16th, 26th, October 24th, November 7th, December 2nd. A, December 2nd, B, December 3rd, December 9th, A, December 9th, B, and December 12th. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Regular minutes.
Motion to approve September the 5th, October the 31st, November the 4th, November the 18th, November the 21st, December the 2nd, December the 16th, December the 19th, December the 20th, and December the 23rd.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve County Commission minutes dated September 5th, October 31st, November 4th, 18th, and 21st, December 2nd, 16th, 19th, 20th, and 23rd. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Transportation Advisory Board update. morning, gentlemen. How fortuitous that you're here. Could either of you give me some insight as to how the geographic boundaries were drawn for the Transportation Board and subsequent board members to be appointed?
I really can't answer that because that was something Frank had worked on the initial onset, and I wasn't really involved in that. So how they come up with them boundaries, I really don't know.
I don't have that. There's not a map here, is there?
No.
This is. I understand what this is. You weren't involved with that back when those were established. I would encourage you to relook that. We had decided this morning that we will try to meet with Transportation Advisory Board, chat with them about those district boundaries and what their thoughts are about them. And if you all have any thoughts, we would welcome those as well to see if there might be a more equitable way to divide the county other than what currently exists. And the reason for that is the difficulty if you have an extremely small area that comprises, two or three square miles compared to 200, 300 square miles. So we need to take a look at that. Gentlemen.
Okay. I'm Travis Heyer from HDR. What I put in front of you is the updated transportation prioritization matrix. As you know, last year we developed this. I think we started out with 43 projects ranked based on a number of different categories: congestion relief, economic development, safety, wide variety. This year what we've done is gone through and updated it based on work that's been done this year, and new projects have been added. So I'll just kind of run through the updates real quick with you. At the bottom of this list, those projects that are listed in green are the projects that were completed this year. And if you look on the very last column on the right, that ranking column shows where those projects would actually be ranked. We've left them on the list so you can kind of see the progress, but they're not officially ranked up in the projects to be done now. The project, and several of those were not necessarily done by the county. Some of them were done by MoDOT, but one way or another, those projects were done. Projects that were added this year, the very first project on the list, 76 Country Boulevard.
Is this a blow up of what
we're
looking at?
There's
here?
Two of those in there, the exact same thing. So
he printed two for the old guys.
Believe it or not, I could read this small print that's here, but I had thought that.
He meant you and Brandon. I didn't.
I meant Ron and Randy.
Press one with me then while we're talking, you have a better idea of what they're chatting about. So you all brought this up if you want. For your edification, he's pointed out these bottom, is it six or seven? Seven?
I think it's the bottom six.
Six.
Those shown in green are the projects that were completed. And this color coding, we don't really have a legend for it, but if you look at the fifth or sixth column that says status of project, that's what the color codes are based on. The orange projects have had some level of planning done. A lot of it's pretty preliminary. The red projects have had a grant applied for, typically it's a Tiger grant, so there's a level of planning that was involved in that to apply for the grants. Then, of course, the green's the completed project, and all the others are just ideas, more or less. Now, the projects that were added, like I said, the first project's at 76 Country Boulevard. That's the project Branson's working on now. They wanted it added to the list to help with any possible funding they may be able to apply for. The third project is US 160 widening through Forsyth. That's adding a turn lane all the way through Forsyth. Number nine is Highway 76 and 160. That's down here at the T intersection by the bridges. Number 23 is a new interchange at Missouri 76 and 376. That was in the Branson city limits.
Remind me where that's at?
That's
going to Branson up 76 and cut across, or is it right there in town?
It's right by IHOP, okay. That intersection.
Gotcha.
And then the other two projects we added were number 33 and 34, which is J Highway at Trigger Creek. It's a low water crossing that I guess flooded this last year, but I think it's kind of that's the only time it's flooded in recent memory, I guess, according to a lot of people. So that didn't rank very high. And then 248 at Emery Creek Boulevard, there was concern about the safety of that intersection.
So that's where you come out of the subdivision onto 240? Okay.
Yep. And it's kind of the sight lines are kind of an issue, but with the data we had, there actually haven't been reported accidents there due to that, so that's why it didn't rank really high. And then there were some adjustments to some of these projects, too. Originally on the matrix, there were a couple projects based on the possibility of development down by the airport, racetrack, and other things, some new interchanges on 65. So based on the current status of those developments, some of those projects have been adjusted. And then number six on the list, the U.S. Business Route 65, the railroad overpass to Turkey Creek Bridge in Hollister, they added that stoplight, which was part of that project, but it wasn't the complete project. But by adding that stoplight, that's helped alleviate some of the problems, so that adjusted that ranking a little bit. And those were basically the only updates we did this year. I've talked to the board. Obviously, every year you could update pretty much every one of these projects based on new traffic counts, new census data. Poverty and economic hardship numbers are included in this. So I've kind of recommended to them at some point, whether probably not every year, but every few years, you may look at just doing a complete update, just to update all the new data that's been collected.
Do we have a list of flooded roads on these? I know you mentioned the one, but there's several roads in the area that flood, and Road Bridge has to take care of those locations.
We did not mention it.
Yeah, we don't have them really broken out. We have several of them are in here.
Right.
Bull Creek's in here. I know as one is on here, and then also I believe Coon Creek is another one that we have issues during flooding.
Here.
I believe it's on here.
Right.
Those two, and then Caney Creek is another one. It's not as bad as the other two, I mean, as far as the flooding issues. The
reason I bring those up is because of, I know that you mentioned, and it's not as bad now as it used to be, but J Highway at Trigger Creek, of course, naturally, I live on that road, so it's hard for me to speak about it because it's part of the neighborhood where I live, and naturally somebody will say it's my driveway.
Yeah.
That's just the way the...
I'll start it for you.
You'll start that rumor for me? Well, I appreciate that. But the reason I say that is because the ones that I have a real concern with on priority is those that where there's school bus routes. And we have school buses trying to cross. And I just happened to be at Trigger Creek when it flooded this last time, and there was a row of cars waiting there with a school bus in the row waiting to get across it, and they were all trying to make judgment calls whether they wanted to cross it or not, and I just had to pull up there, and I said, don't cross the thing. It's not worth taking a chance on, which the school bus driver had already made that decision because he was waiting. But any of these county that would involve county roads where we have school bus traffic. I would like for those to be looked at. Beth was here, visited with us, and I do not see, and I don't understand, or don't know when, but she talked like that the east-west corridor would be added because of possible, the reason it was taken off was financial possibility of financial aid, especially with the state and with the feds. Now there's a possibility of private, maybe some private monies being involved. So they were going to add it to that. I didn't attend this meeting, but I do know that she brought that up at our last update. So, and it's not on the list at all. So maybe she found out more information and didn't decide not to put it on. She attends your meeting, don't she, Beth Schaller?
Yep. Yeah. There's been some conversations at the last couple meetings too about you have the rankings, but several of these likely aren't projects the county's going to be able to do. They're MoDOT projects, or they're, for instance, the East West Corridor. That's a large project.
Right.
So, for instance, the J Highway, Trigger Creek, you know, that's a relatively small project. That's something the county could do. So, the ranking helps, but it's not necessarily you got to do the top project.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So.
Sure. Can you tell me about number four? I'm curious as to what additionally the state would be looking at, and I'm sure that's how they got on there. We're looking at E76 and Lakeshore Drive intersection.
Yeah, we actually talked about that one at the last meeting. There's some different options there. One of them that kind of came out, it's kind of a new deal, is I think they call it a green T intersection, which basically, so it'd almost be two lanes straight through, so if you're turning right off the Lakeshore onto 76, you don't stop. And so it's kind of similar to the roundabout concept that on 76 you'd go straight through still if you were heading towards Branson. Lakeshore would have a dedicated lane if you're turning right towards Branson where they wouldn't stop either. So the only stopping there would be if you're turning left off of Lakeshore onto 76.
So my guess is they would have to take out a significant portion of Bluff, or would they?
There's a decent amount of space there. It's just the grade issues. It's a big intersection, but it's kind of on a slope, so you'd maybe have to try to level it up. And actually, several years ago, we had looked at, when there was talk about applying for a Tiger Grant to widen 76, we looked at enclosing all that drainage in there, and that gives you basically room for an extra lane without having to tear off any more Bluff. You just have to put in an enclosed drainage system.
Because Lakeshore Drive is county, are we looking at a potential state county?
Good. And that one, I think that one's labeled as planning and design, because at one time I think somebody had applied for a grant on that. I think the city of Hollister may have done it, actually. We've been involved with it.
Well, there's no doubt that's a tough place.
On the daily vehicle usage, when was those studies done?
You have to go almost project by project.
Okay.
Some of them were MoDOT data that we had. Some of them were city data we were able to find. Some of them I actually went out and counted cars. And obviously that's, if you sit there for 15 minutes, depending on what time of day it is, makes a big difference. So that, and we've talked about that at the board meetings too, is that you may take each year, look at five projects or something that you may consider doing and actually go put some traffic counters out there. And then we can, as you, if you're thinking about doing a project, we can get some more accurate data and that data is needed.
How often does the board meet?
Monthly? I think it's next week.
If you could give us that information, I'd like to see if we, at least I could attend that.
Next Tuesday at 12:30.
And where will that be?
Here.
Right here. Right. Thank you. Do you gentlemen have any further questions of?
And like I said, if you'd like to see this any other way, if you want more big copies or electronic copy or these small copies, whatever you guys. I'll try. It's big, and I don't know if I can email it to you, but I can get it on CDs if you need it.
No, this is great. I think it's in our best interest to continue encouraging MoDOT. I mean, they've put a lot into Tata County in the course of the last few months in work, but we need to continue those good relationships and pursue certainly some of these priorities without doubt.
Well, then, as Danny was kind of talking about, if you guys have projects to add, I guess let me know, let the board know, or somebody will get them added.
Well, I'd like to just mention that Beth did mention that Tata County is one of the better partnerships that they have throughout the state as far as safety projects and major projects that they work with, and our contribution dollar-wise on safety issues is one of the best. So I think it's very important that that knowledge is out there.
The other issue I'm looking at is M Highway. This is number 38 at Brace Hill where that Nazarene Church is.
Mm-hmm.
That's a safety issue. That's one of the board members had several projects. That's one of them that was put on there from the onset of the prioritization. And that's one that I actually looked at several years ago, even with Jack Wilson, trying to make that county road and state highway M intersection. Where are we going to move it to make it a little safer? I mean, it's...
We can't improve it where it's at unless you
move
the entire highway down.
Right. You do have to do some major cutting on the highway or just move Brace Hill Road entrance. And we do have a spot, but it's just working with the landowner. But it's moving at quite a distance to make it enough sight distance. And the problem there,
that's a dangerous spot.
One of the board members that talked about that one of the last meetings, the school buses, a lot of people use Brace Hill into Slough Hollow as going to Cedar Creek area and school buses, and trying to pull out of that entrance with a school bus is very difficult because of the incline and then short sight distance. Looking to the
norms.
So.
If you guys want to look at just any one of these pages, each category, we put in there a local factor, like local efficient movement of freight factor. Part of the reason for that is that's intersection, like you said, we talked about that last meeting, actually. There haven't really been accidents there that are reported, so in the data that's factored into this, they don't show up, but it's basically known to be a bad intersection. It's kind of a waiting game for an accident to happen. So that local factor... Basically, what that's there for is if, in the opinion of you guys or the board or whoever, you know it's an issue, that factor can be adjusted. That one's more of a subjective number there that can somewhat adjust the rankings based on your knowledge of the area, not just the pure stats that are out there. So if you, and I've encouraged the board to do that, I don't know how much detail they've gone into, but at least for their own districts, I told them kind of go through their projects. If there's something they know is worse than what it shows up in here, we can adjust these factors to reflect reality, I guess.
Okay.
When the state, which they just had, I think they just had their commission meeting. I thought I heard it on the radio where they said they were going to meet in Springfield, but they meet all over the state in different times of the year, quarterly, monthly, or something. Do we have a representative that provides this information on a state ranking?
Not that I'm aware of.
The county commission, when I first came on the commission, attended those state meetings and had a couple of proposals. And I didn't know whether, if we have this information available, if it has any power or influence over that commission, or if it's a priority that they would set, that they see on a regular basis, if it would be of importance that that somehow get on their state ranking. I know Mr. Segenfuss at one time sat on that board. He was the only private citizen that sat on that board, and so.
MoDOT, Beth does have copies of this. We make sure she has it electronically and hard copy, so she's aware of it. And I think Rick and David Miller, I think, go to those meetings. Now, whether I don't know whether they're coming on your behalf or not, but MoDOT has clearly said having a ranking system like this will help. And that's why Branson, like I said, that first project on there, the 76th Country Boulevard, that's why they wanted it on this list, is when they start looking at funding and they want to see that, yeah, this is a priority, it's been thought about. Now, how you get this to the state level, I guess, is a question, but they're aware of it.
I was invited to one of those meetings prior to sitting on the commission. And got to go and be one of the representatives that worked with Tannehill County, and it was really an eye-opener and beneficial to see how that worked as you sat with different individuals and your team worked the room to see if you couldn't up the priority a bit, table to table. But and that's, we need to get re-involved. I appreciate your comment. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Yeah, very appreciative. Road and bridge updates? I tell you what, let's...
Can we take Mark for lighting?
Yeah, because I'm going to get one executive on the other one.
Let's, if you'll hold just a second, yeah, let's go to Mark for the runway lighting project.
Mr. Parent.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Mark Parent, Tannehill County's M. Graham Clark Downtown Airport. Do you have copies of this? These documents?
Yes, sir.
Good. What I have before you are two agreements. They're both supplementary agreements. The first one I'll talk about is the supplementary agreement with Garver USA, the airport's engineer, for continuation of the runway light replacement project. It's for $51,615.86. It's been approved by MoDOT for execution by the Tannehill County Commission. Document number two, which supplements that, is the MoDOT Supplementary Aid Agreement that MoDOT has offered for initial execution by the Tannehill County Commission. It's the supplementary agreement for the runway lighting replacement project that we began in design. Now, this supplementary agreement is for $335,894 MoDOT dollars. It's a 90-10 split. Tannehill County's The portion of that would be $37,322. That would complete the runway lighting project, and it would cover also the supplementary agreement with the engineer. That's what I've got.
We have a letter here from Mr. Cotty also that addresses this issue and both agreements that have been presented this morning. Have in front of us is also within the proposed 2014 budget, correct?
Yes, this is budgeted for 2014.
Is this an update on the lighting project that we have?
Yes, the initial agreement that you executed before was for runway lighting design. It was the design portion of the project. MoDOT funded 90% of that initial portion. This is the continuation of that same project, the actual project itself.
So our portion of this is around $90,000.
Well, we've already paid the initial portion. The runway lighting design project, we already did. It's complete. This portion is, our portion would be $37,322 of this one, which is yet to be done, will be done this spring.
What I meant to say was the total is $90,000. Would be
the total project would be the total Garver's position of the total project would be $99,967. Of course, we only paid 10% of that of their portion of it. The total project is about 350, I think. Let me see if I can do that arithmetic. It's about 300. I don't have it before me, but the first part of the project is already complete. That was $48,352, and our portion was 10% of that project, which that's already complete. The additional project, this one, is Garver plus the contractor, which you awarded to Ewing Lighting. And that will be $335 plus $37.
When you say it's already...
about $370,000.
When you say it's already complete, what's already complete?
The design phase.
So they've designed it.
We did the design phase and with Garver and MoDOT funded 90% of that last year.
And now they're going to actually implement the design?
Then we also took bids, and your commission awarded that to Ewing
to actually do
Lighting
the project.
To do the project. Now this is the grant to actually complete that project.
So the lights need to be replaced?
Yes.
Well, we just landed a 737.
Yeah.
Figured the lights worked pretty good.
Yeah, they did. It's a 40-year-old system.
Gentlemen, I accept a motion to approve Missouri Highways and Transportation Commission Supplemental Agreement to Airport Aid Agreement, known as Project Number AIR-136-101A. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve Missouri Highways and Transportation Commission Supplemental Agreement to Airport Aid Agreement, Project Number AIR-136-101A. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. I would also accept a motion to approve Aviation Project Consultant Supplemental Agreement Number 1 Construction Services for Project Number AIR-136-101A. Is there a motion?
I don't have that before me, so. I'll make the motion.
Second?
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. To approve the Aviation Project Consultant Supplemental Agreement Number 1 Construction Services, that was Project Number AIR-136-101A. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Thank you. I'll need four of those.
Well, I have two in front of me. Actually, two of each, I think. Is that what you meant by four?
I need four of each. I think the county likes two. Both your office and the county clerk likes a copy. MoDOT and the consultant as well. So I need four of each.
Our office said, Mark, if we could have you take these upstairs with you to Nikki, she will work with you on the additional agreements that you need. Thank you, sir. Good to see you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thanks. Road and bridge updates. Gentlemen.
Morning, gentlemen. Start off with all of our winter storms that we've had, four or five different events. We got down to where we're on average between 20 and 30% of our supplies. We're since that time, they've been able to get us resupplied to where we're better than 50% restocked. So, I mean, we're in pretty good shape as far as if we get another major event. Well, I think we're in pretty fair shape, and they're continually bringing us salt in until we get full. So, with all them events, we've used close to 1,000 ton of salt through them for events. That's estimated amount. That's what we basically ordered to restock our
1,000
ton.
2 billion pounds, is that what that is?
A lot of salt. We do have some issues that we've been running into, and a lot of them's with parked vehicles on roadways, and I don't know the best approach to help solve that problem. It's not so bad if they park on one side. In some of the subdivisions, we do have signage and whatnot, which helps us out quite a bit. But a lot of times, depending on the terrain in different areas, people do what they can to try to get to work or whatever, and if they have steep driveways, we end up having to work around a lot of parked vehicles, which makes the job pretty difficult. So, I don't know if you had any input or suggestions on that, but that's something we deal with just about every winter. And oh, I thought he was going to comment.
No, I just waiting for. Didn't know what you were.
Just waiting for comment.
Well, yeah. Most of the time, what I'd advise them to do, I mean, we get too heavy a traffic or concentration, we just wait and I mean, rather than run into a situation. We'll come back to the road at later times and try to clear up it. We do run into problems with that. Another reason I mention that, I mean, if you get calls while we haven't been to certain roads, there's various reasons. I mean, if we can't get in there or can't work around the vehicles, it makes it difficult to get that plow truck in and get turned around.
Some of them's been in intersections to where when you get to that point, you're already committed and you have to back all the way back out of
it. Is there any way we can do like a, when we know it's going to snow or something, do some sort of public service announcement or something through the radio and newspapers, just kind of a reminder, please keep your roads off, I mean, cars in your driveways and off the right-of-ways to where we can... Do people look at the signs?
A lot of them do. I mean, some of them subdivisions, it's helped tremendously, and that may be one solution. I mean, is they haven't had as much problem on their particular roads, but it's roads where we have no signage or postings. Of that
if you type. Push a couple off into the ditch, they'll probably move them next time.
Well, that's another issue.
I can solve a lot of the world problems. Might cause a few more.
Next time we'll try that.
What's that?
Park out on your road next time, we'll try that.
I'm not dumb enough to park in the middle of the road during snow.
Randy, as part of this, people are, it's easier for them to get to the vehicle.
It is. A lot of them, what we run into a lot of if their driveways are steep, the terrain off of the existing road, that they know they're not going to get out, so they leave their rig up there at a place they know they can get out and get to work. I mean, it's a necessity for them, and they don't realize that it's maybe causing us a problem trying to clear the road. And we just have to work around the best we can, but it does pose a problem, so.
We need to think on that, and we need to find out how to best address it. I understand that, but there's also going to have to be some give and take from people that get to and from work or the hospital. Or is it a huge problem, or is there just a few? Or
Well, he's run into a problem in a couple different areas. Not so much, mainly in the subdivision areas where you get the concentration of houses and the cars. That's where you run into the most problem. Out on the rural roads, we don't run into it.
There's two different roads. We had motorhomes parked there because they didn't have room to park them in their driveway. Yeah, so they was using our road for their storage.
A lot of that we can go by and talk to the homeowner about that. And we have on occasion, and it runs into a problem. So basically, if we maybe talk to the whole neighborhood, might help out too. We just have one individual. So.
Well, we might ask the news media to help us out on that. I know I had more complaints probably on mailboxes than anything else.
Mailboxes.
They set their mailboxes too close. When our blades come by, they're either not set the regular height that they're supposed to be set. I mean, we have a mailbox standard that we got to go by, and they'll not. They get lax on it. They'll set the mailbox wherever they think it looks best, or they set it out there and it's not high enough, and the blade hooks it, and then they're mad at the county for taking out a mailbox that's illegally set. So what I'm saying is if there is a maybe a postal warning through the newspaper that there is a guidance for mailboxes and that vehicles in obstruction of keeping our roadways clear. We do an outstanding job with Road and Bridge in keeping the roads clear, especially Taney County, compared to the convenience of equipment stuff compared to some of the cities and the state. Maybe we could put something out there that says, you know, make mention of the mailboxes and then mention the vehicles sitting in the roads at the same time. Doesn't look like you're just picking out something out of the clear blue sky. It's just a cautionary deal. Can you make up some kind of a posting, Randy, to send to the newspapers?
Yeah, we'd come up with something.
Then the mailbox deal's getting to be, because I had probably more complaints on that whenever I got to asking them how high they were and everything. They just weren't, I mean, they just weren't high enough to clear a blade on a dump truck.
Okay. Moving on to the next items, I'd like to skip down to the hillside. I asked Renee to come. The reason I have that on here, kind of the tentative plan, what we plan to do with this hillside below the judicial, and this is mainly the steepest area that we're not able to mow with our mower, is to excavate that, put a filter blanket on that, and then use a rock and cover that area, something that can keep vegetation and weeds, something that we don't have to hand weedy, but put a rock blanket on that if that's suitable for you guys. We want to run that by you before we move forward with that, but that's one option. I mean,
Renee, do you have comments about this?
No, we have talked about this, Randy and I. Actually, the rock idea seems like it would be the best thing to do.
The retaining wall that's in place, we will have to do a little bit of work to the ends of that big wall where the blocks are leaning a little bit. We need to dig out and get them put back in place. But that's the main area we're talking about, is above the bigger wall and then above that smaller wall that sets tiered up between the guardrail and it.
Do you guys have any objection to them moving forward with that proposal?
I don't have any. Mr. Stroff is like wildflowers. It's the only thing that causes that problem.
Well,
I told him not to put those in, put that stuff in there in the first place, but.
Let's move forward with the rock wall. How's that?
Okay. All right.
Rock bed.
Rock bed. One item we don't have on there, but I'm going to.
He's always got a one-up me. Always got a one-up me.
This is Erodium Spring Meadows that we're having some issues with the property above Spring Meadows drainage, and I'm going to try to get with Mr. Atchley maybe and see if there's something he might also be able to help us with through planning and zoning.
I went down and looked at this. This is pathetic.
Where's it there?
That we'd have a government entity that draws taxes from the citizens that would treat everybody else in the community like this. I was pretty disgusted with it when I went down and looked at it yesterday. I had several phone calls on this, so I drove down and looked at it.
This is in Spring Meadows subdivision.
It's off of the...
right where you go in the first street to the left.
It's off of Tantone has built their new building up on the very back. Mm. And where Tantone's built their new building, they just dropped off and run this culvert right down into a county road. And whenever they run this culvert down into the county road, right into the center of it, whenever the water runs down it, it freezes and makes an ice rink for about a quarter of a mile with about 25 to 50 houses that are affected.
Whose property is that pipe layout?
That's on the property of Tantone.
That's theirs.
It's not on the subdivision property. So.
No.
It's above. It's the end of that road is right at the boundary of the subdivision.
Now, maybe the reason I sound a little bit harsh about this is because I have talked to them numerous times about this very issue.
Where else could they run their water?
I'd have to look at the site. I haven't been up on the site above there to see what other options, but basically our road wasn't designed to handle that kind of water.
It's not the road, it's the property owners that live around it that's got to be.
Well, that, but the... it would have been better to put that in a underground storm water and take it to a low point. Right now, it's got to run a long ways to even get close to an inlet box within the subdivision.
And most of the time,
it's not going to get there. It's going to go across the main road at that intersection and go off across private property.
So. It wouldn't hurt anything if each one of you gentlemen had, when you got time to run into Branson, drive down by and look at this, and you'll be with the same attitude that I have about it.
Not only that, every time it rains, it's like a mud bath coming down through there. And I talked to the contractor three different times about putting a silt fence up during the project, and they never did do it.
Do you know if Mr. Ashley has a bond on that?
I was going to go visit with him and maybe go out there and look at it to see if they got everything in place that's supposed to be through P&Z, and then check on the bond and whatnot.
How far would they have to run that underground to get it to? I don't see an easy solution here.
It's not going to be easy. I mean, but
remember on the back side of it, if the property goes back 4 months, they could have went to the.
Well, yeah, I don't know what their design on the property itself, whether that pipe had to be placed there, as there was there other alternatives.
Help me out, because they already had structures in place. Where did the water go before?
Under those people's house.
Under their houses.
That's exactly what I brought up to them before, Ron. It's the reason I sound like I'm disgusted about this situation. is because they run the water underneath the people's houses that already existed there. These people, every time they pay their taxes, have to pay taxes to let the water run underneath their houses. Now it gets to run down their street. So I'd like to see it straightened out. Now, you may think I sound a little bit angry about it. I am.
When you say it ran underneath the houses, through natural flow or through...
It run from these people's property underneath these people's houses.
By what means? Just through just natural underneath and going through, or was there some sort of infrastructure underneath there that was
just a natural flow of the hillside with no regard.
So there wasn't any infrastructure put in that made it go?
No infrastructure whatsoever. I made three trips trying to get this straightened out, and then whenever I got the call Sunday from several people and went up there, you know, naturally I wasn't very happy about it.
Well, we need to sit down and chat with them, because short of a civil action, I don't know what we can force them to do. It's wrong. That's easy to see.
I would rather that we would let Randy or someone from P&Z talk to them, let them try to solve the problem, or I'd rather that we would try to help them get the problem solved as to go through a civil action with that whole neighborhood over there.
So, Randy, you'll approach Mr. Ashley and then together perhaps...
And get back with the commission quickly, because you can imagine what that's been the last 2 months for these people.
Let's move on to your next issue.
Let's back up to Savannah Place Subdivision Roads. This is a subdivision off of Sherry View. Sherry View Road goes down to what used to be Reinhardt's. This is the entrance. We maintain this road to this intersection, turn, and we follow this route that's highlighted in red down to this point. They have since petitioned the remainder of these roads, being this road, these roads here, that have been completed, taking to the county system. They went through the petition process. The commission approved contingent on a hold harmless on a couple of areas where they had pre-existing water issues with water turning down. I believe it was one of these residents into a driveway. There was a couple of issues there. And also a turnaround at this end of this road, because there was not enough room to install a cul-de-sac. So we could use a driveway there. So I got with the gentleman that initiated the petition, or part of this, the spokesman for the subdivision. Anyway, they worked on the whole harmless acquire those. And somehow we had an error on our part, and I thought they lacked one of the hold harmless and meeting all the contingencies. And he called me recently, so I went back through the whole file. We had got all the hold harmless, so they had completed all the contingencies.
Did we also give permission to utilize this road?
Yes, and I have all that. There was actually three contingent hold harmless on runoff issues.
And one of them, the error was one of the roads was listed was Waterloo. There was no issue there as far as a hold harmless needed on that road. And how that one got on the list, that was the one that I thought we would like. But when I went back and even reviewed my report on it, it didn't require a hold harmless there. The one that did require, they did have in the pile. And so they had met the contingencies on what the commission had asked for. So what I was going to do is recommend that we get him in.
And we also, within the system, so we went ahead, even though we were waiting on those documents or contingencies to be fulfilled, and we did some pretty heavy road work on those things, didn't we?
We did, and that was error in communication with some of the road guys that was unfamiliar with it. We actually put a seal code on these two or three roads here. I believe them two right there. And that was an error in communication between we thought they knew which one they maintained, but evidently they, when they got in there doing, we had went in and chip sealed our normal route there.
So
actually didn't hurt them, but that's what
it happened. But it makes them wonder, and that's who I get the phone calls from. Is, well, the point was, now we've stopped maintaining because we didn't think that all the contingencies have been filled, even though apparently they have been filled. So the county commission prior, or a county commission sometime prior, voted to accept those into the county road system based upon certain contingencies. Those contingencies have now been met, and you're recommending that we move forward, put them within the system.
And go ahead and maintain them. Where the confusion comes in is when we get into snow removal. And they seen us when we chip sealed, but then we didn't remove snow off them, and that's where.
But we want to make something perfectly clear on those, Randy, that we don't remove snow on everything that we chip seal. If people get that in their mind that just because we go in and take a road into the county system, that we maintain it, we snow remove it, we do all this. That's the reason we had the classifications of roads 6 down through 1. And those roads that are listed as 6 may be nothing but a gravel road that runs a grader over it. Then people see you out there working on it. First time it snows, they think you should remove snow from it. When it is proposed and taken into the county, it is not taken in as a snow removal road. Now, there's been a lot of talk about this subdivision. I have no problem with it other than the fact that when we go out, and you've already talked about it this morning, when we go out to remove snow from these, there's our numerous cars. You can't even get up through there in dry weather, much less with snow on the ground. You can't get up those streets for people parking on the streets in these subdivisions. And so we do have a problem. We'll have to do those like we did. Oh, I'm trying to think of the name of that subdivision.
Now, this was one of them that on the part that we do maintain, we place signs actually parking on one side of the street only.
One side only.
Spring Meadows was another one that we had parking because emergency vehicles, the road wasn't designed for parallel parking vehicles on the road. And if you park two across from each other, nobody's going to. So
I went up.
That's one of the issues. So we had to do something. And there, I think there was about 4 subdivisions, that we had to do that to.
Will it suffice if we put into the minutes today that the county commission accepts your recommendation that all contingencies have been met and that we're to move forward with, because the petition's already been accepted and approved right, based upon those contingencies.
Right.
Is that all right to formally place that in the minutes? Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to relate to you gentlemen that all contingencies have been met, that we need to, I'm recommending we enter it into the system. But one of the, that is in previous minutes, did require the no parking signs as part of that be placed on these too, because of that very issue.
not this time, but the time before when I ran for office, I got him in there, and not in this subdivision, but one of these that was discussed. And I got trapped in there for 2 hours, couldn't get out. Cars parked on one side and cars parked on the other side. So that's the reason I say you have to be very careful. There wasn't no snow on the ground at the time, but you have to be very careful about trying to have snow removal in a place where you can't even get through when there's dry weather. These are curb and guttered streets, and they're fixed up nice, but they're just not wide enough.
What are your druthers, gentlemen?
Well, you said they were already taken in just on a contingency?
Right.
So if the contingency has been met, then there's really no further action, is there?
I think Randy wants us to formally acknowledge that they have met their contingency so that they can move forward with whatever type of maintenance it is that we provide based upon conditions, of course.
Well, I do know your previous motion basically clearly spelled out the hold harmless, the turnaround, but it also required making sure that no parking signs were established on these roads, because the roads we currently maintain already have them, and that was one of the issues. And if we take in the other streets in here, it's going to be the same issue on that.
So. Randy, could you, I know this may not be in agreement with Ron and Brandon, but could you have our attorney look at that, the way it's wrote up with the hold harmless agreement that we have?
Yeah, I mean,
And make sure that we're okay with everything. And I'm all for it. If it's already been voted on, right, and the attorney has no problem with the way it's wrote, I'm all for it.
Did an attorney previously already do that?
I'm pretty sure they wrote it.
I'm asking. I don't know.
I mean, it's...
I mean, they signed documents that somebody prepared.
Well, you've also got a sign to accept them. That's the full harmless agreements. And then actually all they asked for was just permission. And we've done the same thing in there's a street in Spring Meadows that we got the same agreement type for a turnaround at the driveway. This is one that was required on this one day in the street here, so we do have that.
So really these whole harmless clauses, which is so that the county would not be held liable for stormwater
runoff from the existing, something that was pre-existing.
Because there were issues at the time that they petitioned to have the roads brought in.
Right.
And so what they have signed is, for whomever has prepared this.
That's the reason there's specific addresses. I believe there was three.
Streets?
No, three. It wasn't the entire street. It was just basically
lots,
basically, and then addresses that water would run off in there.
Do they have? I haven't never. Like I told you, it's a nice, streeted area. Do they have outlet boxes for wastewater?
Yes, they have. Part of them have inlet boxes in it, and part of it have cutaways in the curb for it to drain out of the roadway at the bottom of the hill.
I just want to make sure.
A lot of them have, there are a few streets, because I know we had to, when some of these were under construction, part of our streets, we had to clean out some inlet boxes, and we had to actually...
My memory is not too good on this, because
You want our attorney to take a look at it? I don't have a problem with
that. Yeah. The subdivision itself, there were three streets taken in with the others contingent upon certain things being, and that's the reason I would like to have it looked at.
Okay.
But I'm like Brandon. I think if everything's been met, I don't think we have to even vote on it. It's already been voted on.
Are you agreeing with me?
No.
Well,
no, that was a mistake in the
the wording.
That's a misstatement.
You haven't been in the past when they had a contingency. If they met the contingency, basically bring it back, let you know the contingency's been met before we entered into our system and let you know and move forward. So, okay. Give you a little bit of an update on the transfer station. We do have the lower door has been installed, and Steve is currently working on the big doors. He's done some header work on them, and he's assembling the doors themselves. We got the material in, so we're moving forward with that anyway, so it shouldn't be too long. We'll have that pretty much completed. The other item I wanted to bring up, the shop building that we currently have at the Kazee Mills lot, where the mechanics are, we talked about being able to make a place there that we can clean and sandblast and prep our trucks, try to clean them up and have them ready for painting where we quote that out. Have somebody. I didn't really want to paint them there. The cost of creating an actual paint bay is going to be too expensive for the venting system and all the requirements. That's something we can outsource and have somebody else, whether we bid it out, have somebody local in Springfield. A couple locations in Springfield capable of doing that. Is that something we can move forward with being able to clean up our dump trucks mainly is what I'm looking at, and then other smaller stuff, because this calcium and salt really works on our equipment, and that's, we got a lot of trucks we really need to get kind of cleaned up and repainted.
I think you need to check with another department about some stuff that's there.
Yeah, we got, part of that's going to have to go somewhere
else. I think you have to check with that department and make sure that we don't have nothing to do with it. And it's there and it needs to be moved.
Yeah. Okay. But I do have one of the tools bought, and there we haven't hooked it up or anything. I've also purchased an air compressor to go in there to be able to do part of that. We had to since move that compressor to Hilda because there's an inspector look at it and develop a problem. We had to take it out of service, so I had to get that one out of there, so I'll have to purchase one for that shop. But that'll give me a place to be able to.
Well, I talked about that in executive.
I know what you're referring to.
The reason I bring it up, I'll talk about it again, or I didn't want to keep moving down if you guys change your mind and you want to do something different with the facility, so that's the reason I'm bringing it up. That's everything I have, and everything else I've got is sex session. So.
Are you just here for?
Yeah, whatever you guys. I'm just here for. You stuff were, you're going to talk about later.
Yeah, and you were appointed late last.
Was I done? That was that done too?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that yet.
We're getting ready to go into executive session, and I would actually like to move into executive session with these gentlemen, but after we move into executive session, stand in recess, and I can address an issue or two with you, and if the press has questions of anybody up here, why don't we handle that at recess individually, and then we'll take up the issues that you have for us on personnel. Is that all right? So is there a motion to go into executive session? Under personnel?
You're going to be upstairs or here?
Let's just, why can we just stay here? Is that all right?
Fine, yeah.
The reason I say that is we've got an 11:30 here.
Move to go into executive session per section 610.021, subsection 3.
Second.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Move into executive session pursuant to section 610.021, subsection 3. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Danny aye.
Brandon aye.
Ron aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. We'll stand in recess for just a few minutes, and then we'll hear your personnel issues, Randy.